knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house, or in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said unto her, or he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessings, your goodness, and your mercy. Thank you, dear Lord, once again, as we get ready to preach. Thank you for your word. Lord, I'm glad that it's not something I have to come up with, Lord, but God, I'm glad that we can preach your word. Lord, how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, man could never come up with a message that would speak to the hearts of people like your word does. Lord, not only does it speak to our hearts, but Lord, it corrects us. And then, Lord, it encourages us. Lord, it blesses us. Father, there's just so many things that your word does to us. Thank you, dear Lord. I pray now, Heavenly Father, that you would be with us. Help us to preach tonight. God, I pray for those that will listen, that you'll help them, Lord, that they will give heed to your word and, Lord, obey it. I pray tonight again, if there's one among us that's lost, I pray this would be the night, dear Heavenly Father, that they'd come to know you as their personal Savior. I pray for Christians here again, Lord. Father, we've been praying all week for Christians to get the help that they need. Lord, I'm reminded the help is here. You've been here all along. Lord, not just this week, but you've been here all along to help folks. You go with them as they leave the church house to help them. Lord, so many times we overlook you. So many times we take you for granted. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would look to you and ask you, Father, to help us. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We look here in the Word of God again and we find help. Remember Sunday we started trying to preach a message about making the right choices. We are going to make choices. We have made choices all this week. Every one of us have made choices all this week. Some of you have been here and you've made the choice to come back. Praise the Lord for that. But some of you have made a choice in being here of coming to an altar of prayer and praying and asking the Lord for help. And we heard a few testimonies tonight, but I've heard many others that have given a testimony how that the Lord has blessed them and worked in their life this week. Amen. That comes from the choice that we've made. Amen. To let Him. You see, sometimes we come to the house of God and we're not going to let the Lord speak to us. We're not going to listen and give heed to the things that He says. But many of you have, and God's been able to help you. And tonight, if you'll make that choice tonight to let the Lord help you, you'll receive the help that you need. We find this in 2 Kings. We find a good example of this, of making the right choice. I'm sorry. Amen. Okay, we'll start all over. If you will, turn in your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Thank God. Thank you for making that choice, Pastor, to let me turn the mic on. Amen. Choices. Choices. It's always that, folks. I can't get away from it. It's always choices. But God gives us an example of a woman that it goes back farther than her. It goes back to her husband making a right choice. As we look again in chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, And now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Here's a man that made a right choice somewhere in life, and that was to follow God, to be obedient to God. I'm glad tonight, my friend, listen, men, God has given us a privilege beyond our expectations. I mean that. You say, yeah, brother, yeah, I've got the perfect job. No, it's better than that. And that is to be the man of the house. Amen. What a privilege God has bestowed upon us men tonight, to be the men of the house, to be the leaders in our household. And my friend, I'm going to tell you, the decisions that we make they're either going to help our home or destroy our homes. It's what we have in our home. Listen to me. It's important what we bring into our homes. Amen. Whatever we allow into our homes is either going to make our homes strong homes for the Lord, or it's going to bring destruction upon our homes. We need to understand that. Here's a man that has made a choice in his life to follow God. And so now it's come down to he's dead now, and his wife is the survivor. She's left behind. Well, I am so glad I read this, and I thank the Lord. You know what this means when I read this? You know what this means to me? It means that I don't have to worry about my wife if something happens to me tonight. Amen. You say, you got a pretty good insurance policy? Oh, I got the best one there is. His name is Jesus. Amen. I don't have to worry about her. As a matter of fact, she knows this, don't have a life insurance policy. But God, you say, well, what kind of provider are you? Well, I kind of think I'm one of the best. Amen. Because you see, the economy is going to fluctuate to where your life policy might not be worth 15 cents when you do kick the bucket. Amen. It could be that $100,000 or $1 million a policy might just be worthless when you die. You say, but I've done my best. No, you haven't. You can beat that. What do you mean? You can put God first in your life. And He will take care of your spouse. Amen. He will. Here's a good example. This woman, she's thinking, what am I going to do? There's no money coming in now that he's dead and gone. And here, my friend, and in these days, in the Bible days, it was a way of living that when a man died and he owed folks money, that they would come and take the sons of that man, and the sons would have to work off that debt. Boy, wouldn't that be awful to do that today? Amen. But that was the way life was. And this woman, she loves her sons, and she doesn't want them to be taken off like that. So she goes to the man of God, Elisha, and she begins to talk to him. And she says, hey, you know that my husband feared the Lord. That's a great testimony, isn't it? Amen. I mean, that is a great testimony, men, that your wife can stand and say, hey, my husband feared the Lord. Amen. He feared the Lord while he was alive. He knew God in a manner that he feared. Now, listen to me. It's not talking about that fear of being afraid of like that. It's talking about reverencing, knowing who God is and the power that he holds. And my friend, and then knowing that even though we fear him, that we can serve him. Amen. And so here she is, she's talking with Elisha about that. And then in verse number 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? I believe Elisha is saying it like this, what can I do? Amen. What can I do? What shall I do for thee? What can I do? And then he says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? What have you got in your house? Now, the woman replies there, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. I don't know why this is so. I don't know if she'd had a yard sale. Amen. I mean, I don't know. She may have had a yard sale or something. She may have sold the furniture that they had back in those days. I don't know how they would have done things. But she said, I don't have anything in the house. Well, I believe this woman is looking at things and realizing, I don't have anything in my house that is of any value. In other words, that would go toward paying off the debt that my husband left behind. I don't have any way of settling that debt. I don't have anything. And she recalled something that really I think she looked at that didn't have any real value to it. She said, save this oil. I don't think she understood the worth of that oil. Now we know this in the Bible. When the Bible talks about oil many times, and most of the times, it's an illustration of the Holy Spirit of God. And she's looking at this oil and she says, I don't have anything in the house save a pot of oil. I just got a pot of oil. That's all I got, it's just a pot of oil. Well, sometimes we sell God short. Amen. We don't know the worth of the Holy Spirit of God. That's our problem. Let me give you a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. You'll recognize the verse. We won't quote it all, but it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve means to bring great sorrow or sadness. We're not supposed to bring great sorrow or sadness to God. You say, you can't bring sadness and sorrow to God. Oh, beg your pardon? The Bible says for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. My friend, we can. You say, well, how do you grieve? I mean, how do you bring sadness and sorrow to the Holy Spirit? I mean, really, how can you do that? I'll tell you how. By not living for God. Amen. By living in sin, and you know that you're a saint of God or a child of God. That would grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We don't realize it, folks, but a lot of times we do things that bring sadness and sorrow to God just because of the way we live, and we don't even consider it. It don't seem to bother us. We just go ahead and do whatever we want to do. I'm talking to us as Christians tonight. We need to be very careful because God says to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We act like it's no big deal to do what we want to do in the way we want to do it. Again, Brother Justin preached that message a week ago tonight. And boy, I'm going to tell you, God has really dealt my heart about that in this past week. Great message. I said it Sunday, but it's a great message. And boy, we just don't understand. We do what we want to do. Oh, I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to serve Him my way. That's what the message was about. I'll serve Him. I'll do what I want to. Preacher, I'm going to do it my way. Then you're not doing it unto God. You'll either do it God's way or it'll be the wrong way. I don't care how good that you think it is at what you're doing, my friend, but if it's not God's way, it's not right. Amen. We just don't seem to stop and consider what I'm about to do. Is it going to glorify God, or is it going to bring sorrow to Him by grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Let me give you another verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, capital S. Quench not the Spirit. To quench, it means to extinguish, to put out. And this is another thing that the dictionary said, to snuff out, to extinguish. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible refers to Him as being a fire? Amen. And you know what a lot of times we do? We try to put out that fire that's glowing in our hearts. You see, when sometimes we sit on the pew and it's right to say, amen, you know what we do? We quench the Holy Spirit of God. We put out that fire that God tries to start in us. You know what I see us doing?
all of us, me included, when God begins to squeeze our heart a little bit and the tears begin to swell up in our eyes, we fight them back. That's putting out the fire. God's wanting to do something really great for you, and instead of letting Him, by obedience to Him, we quench, we put out that fire, we extinguish what God is trying to build up in our hearts and in our souls. Amen. We need to just turn loose and let the Lord have His way. Now, I put those scriptures in there because I want us to realize the work, part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, He's talking about Him being taken away, but He said, if I go, I'll send a comforter, and He will abide with you. And He tells us over there, my friend, that this comforter is there to work in our lives. He's there to not just comfort us, though that is part of it, but it's also to teach us. Amen. And to bring things to our remembrance that He's already taught us. Whoa, listen, we are so blessed, Christians. Amen. We are so blessed to have not just Jesus Christ as our Savior and God as our Father, but to have the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in us, to keep that fire warm in us. Amen. I'd rather be on fire for Jesus than cold for the devil. Amen. This woman doesn't realize what she's got in her house. I'm afraid most of us do not realize what we have in us, or we should say concerning Him. We don't know what we have in Him in our house. Amen. We ought to be so thankful tonight for the Holy Spirit of God that guides us and directs us and speaks to our heart. Sometimes words of instruction, my friend, of encouragement, and then sometimes words of instruction and comfort. That comes through the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Brother Daniel, you're not supposed to brag on the Holy Spirit of God. Really? He's part of the Godhead. As a matter of fact, He's not just part, but He's one of the three persons. Not the last one, nor the second, nor the first. He's one of the three. Amen. And yet we take Him so lightly, we don't even consider His feelings. That's the reason I wanted to talk about briefly about us quenching not the Holy Spirit and about grieving not the Holy Spirit of God. We better watch out, because we're guilty. And if we're guilty of doing these things, there's got to be a consequence for them. Amen. This woman doesn't realize what she's got in her house. Do you realize what we have in our house? In our homes. I'm talking about for us outside there. Amen. You say, you mean God's out there, the Holy Spirit's out there in the motorhome now? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, though, when we go home, we have Him with us in our homes. For all those years that our children were at home, listen, we had the Holy Spirit of God there to help our family. Amen. He was there to help our family. He was a very much needed guest in our home. Amen. He was a welcome guest at, listen to me, not at particular times, but at all times. Amen. This woman, she doesn't realize the worth of that pot of oil. I don't think you and I understand the worth of the Holy Ghost of God in our lives, my friend, to work in us. Hey, listen, we have problems in our families and we need help. And you know what? If we're saved, we've got the Holy Spirit of God there to help us. Amen. You know, I found out He can go places that you and I can't go. He said, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot of times I want to preach, Brother Andy, and I know you do, and I know every preacher wants to. I want to preach, and I want to get in the hearts of people. But I can't. No matter how hard I try, it's not a thing of, well, if you were humble enough, no, that's not it. Well, if you had enough compassion, that's not it either. You see, the truth is, I can't get in your heart. You can't get anyone's heart either. Amen. But the Holy Spirit of God can. The Holy Spirit of God can. When we pray for our loved ones, if we have a problem at home with our children and we pray for them, listen to me, that's the greatest thing that we can do. Sometimes we come to the point, I've heard parents talk about it, I've just come to the end of the road, I don't know what else to say. It's like if I say something else, that they're just going to blow up and leave out and I'll never see them again. No one wants to do that. What do? We pray for them. Why? The Holy Spirit of God can get to them in a way, my friend, without being offensive to them. Amen. I mean, He can go in there and speak to them in that room where they ran in and slammed the door and locked it behind them. The Holy Spirit of God just, He doesn't walk, He doesn't get down and crawl under the crack of the door. He'll walk right through the door. Amen. We need to realize how important He is. Some of you ladies, you might have a husband that just won't go to church with you or anything. Greatest thing you can do for him, pray. Because the Holy Spirit of God can move on the hearts of people. We were in a revival up there in Vermont a couple of weeks ago now. And there was a man, as a matter of fact, there was a man there at church. And he talked with me one night, and he said, Brother Danny, he said, I've been praying for my wife. He said, I love the Lord, I'm saved, and I want to serve the Lord. But said, my wife don't care anything about God. She don't care anything about church. He said, she don't mind me going, but she just won't go. And he said, I've been praying for her this week, and he said, she's promised me. He said, I've just been getting ready this week and going on to church and not saying anything. But he said, she promised me yesterday, I'm going to go to church with you this week. And he said, I don't understand. He said, I'd been on her, trying to get her to go to church with me, trying to get her to go to church with me, trying to get her to go to church with me. And he said, and all of a sudden, I just thought, okay, I'm not going to ask her anymore because she will not go. And he said, I just started praying. He said, for some reason, she's coming to church with me. And she did before the week was out. Amen. Why? My friend, I'm not saying don't invite them. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this. When we've done all that we can do, God can go beyond that. Amen. Through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We sell Him short. We don't know, my friend, what we really have in our home if we're saved through the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, here's a woman. She said, I have nothing. She's looking around. Hey, the house could have been full of furniture. Who knows what was there? The Bible just doesn't tell us. But she's looking at it like, I've got that debt. It's in my mind. I got that debt that my husband acquired. I don't have the money to pay. I don't have anything in the house to sell that's worth that. I just don't have anything. It's a lost cause. All I got's that old pot of oil. Folks, listen to me. Don't sell him short. Don't sell him short. This woman has come to the conclusion that hope is gone. And yet at the same time, she's reaching out. I know as we look at this, she's reaching out to the man of God, but in reality, she's reaching out to God for help in this situation. And she begins to talk to him and tell him her situation. And he begins to respond back, as God always does. Amen. Verse 3 says, then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. He said, don't just go get a few. Go get all that you can and bring them in. Or God's fixing to do something for this little woman. Amen? You know why? Because her husband has been faithful to serve him all of his days. Amen? Because he, listen to me, it's not the insurance policies again. I want you to know it. It's not that. It's not what they have in the house that they can sell that's going to help them. It's not any of those things. It's the fact that her husband had faithfully served God. Folks, I'm telling you something. We've got a better insurance policy than the world can offer. Amen. We need to realize that, recognize that tonight, and this ought to be part of our be of good cheer. Amen. Be of good. What are you going to do, Brother Danny? When I mean, here y'all got a motorhome, you don't even have a house to live in. What are you going to do? What's Miss Pam going to do if you die? Well, let me tell you, first of all, there ain't a question about if I die. Because I'm a-going. And I thank God I am. Amen. I'm glad I'm checking out of here one day. I'd hate to think I was stuck here for all eternity. Amen. You say, well, but what about Miss Pam? If you die and you leave her, what? Hey, listen to me. She's already in God's hands. He's been taking care of. You say, no, Brother Danny, you've been taking care. No. God's been taking care of her all these years. And He'll just keep on doing it. You say, but Brother Danny, she doesn't have. She's going to live in that motor home the rest of her days? If God wants her to. If God wants her to, God could put her up here next door to you. I don't look for Him to do that, but He could. Hey, she could live in a mansion down here on earth. God's quite capable of giving her those things. Amen. But whatever it is, it'd be enough to get her by as she lives here on earth. Do we understand that tonight? So we need to be of good cheer and serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. This woman has come down to this time in her life. Her husband is gone. And I'm sure she had relied upon him. And rightfully so, because he was the man of the house. But now she's realizing something. Hey, you know what? In reality, my husband relied on God. And now it looks like I'm going to have to do the same. That's not bad. That's not bad when you realize it. Listen to me. Again, the economy will never affect the way God takes care of us. Amen. We don't ever have to worry about that. I'll never have to worry about blowing my brains out because the economy went so bad I lost all my money I had invested. Amen. You say, how much do you have invested? Down here? Zero. But I'm making investments yonder in heaven. Amen. Folks, we just need to understand how good our God is. And here, He tells her exactly what to do. And He's instructing her. Look in verse number 4. He's telling this woman, what you need, lady, what you need is a revival. You say, no, wait, Brother Danny, I don't get that. Look in verse 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, whom brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now you say, where's the revival? Don't you know she's looking for some hope? My friend, and this man of God tells her what to do, and she goes, she closes that door. She's got this one pitcher or one pot of oil, my friend, and they bring in all these vessels, and she begins to pour out of that one pot into another, and she fills that one up. And she goes to another vessel, and she pours and fills it up. And she goes to another, and she pours and fills it up. Don't you know somewhere down through here, she's going to have to realize she's filling up all these vessels out of one pot. She's got to be getting excited. Amen. She's got to be getting excited about this thing. That's what revival is when we quit trusting ourselves and start trusting the Lord and get excited about it. Amen. She's realizing, well, looky here, what's going on? And I just see her say, here's what I'm going to do. I've been pouring them up to about this far from the top, you know, almost full. We're going to pour them. Let's go back over here and fill these off, top them off, as we'd say. And I believe she puts it in there till that thing's just full up to the brim. She's filling all the vessels that those boys went out and borrowed and brought in that house. This woman fills them out of one pot of oil. You don't think they were having revival in that house? You don't think there's some rejoicing going on in that house, my friend? I mean, and she still doesn't know what this is all about. She has no idea. Okay, we're going to have some bunch of pots of oil around here. All these vessels are full of oil. Well, what are we going to do? She doesn't know that yet. But I'm sure she's still excited because, man, listen, she's thinking of this. The man of God told us to get all these vessels. He must have something in mind because he knew I could fill all these vessels up out of this one. He must have something in mind. Well, there's a lot of times I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this, he's got something in mind. Amen. Or he wouldn't have brought me the way that he has brought me. He's got something in mind for me. Amen. He brought you here tonight. You know why? You think, well, yeah, I'm here because so-and-so invited me to come and stand up for him, or I'm here because of so-and-so or this and or that. And that. No, no, no. You're here because God's got something in mind for you. Amen. Amen. He's got something better in mind for you than what you can even imagine. You say, not me, preacher. You don't even know me. No, I don't, but he does. He knows all about you. Amen. Amen. And he's brought you here because he's got something in mind for you. And don't worry about it. He'll not force it upon you, but he'll offer it to you. And it won't be bad. It'll be good. As a matter of fact, it'd be the greatest thing that ever happens to you. Amen. I'm talking about salvation. The greatest thing. This woman and her sons, listen, they're needing revival. And here they are. They go in, and you know what they're doing? Listen to me. As far as I can tell, when I read these scriptures, this woman has done everything exactly like the man of God said do it. I mean, he followed, she and her sons followed him to the very T of what he said do. I mean, you know, okay, boys, go get the vessels. But there's no need in even closing the door. Just come on back in the house. Don't worry about closing. Wait just a minute. God must have told Elisha, tell her to close the door. Because he said, close the door. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? Don't know. Other than this, God said, do it. Amen. You ever thought about that? No wonder we can't have a revival at the church. We can't even have one at home. You ever thought about that? You'll not ever have revival here at the church unless you have one at home. Amen. Amen. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is with us, to give us that revival. Send the great revival to my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take and send a great revival. Amen. That's exactly how we're going to get it, is let the Holy Spirit of God take control. Realize he is in control of this thing. This woman has come to the place where she realizes, hey, listen, I don't have any means of taking care of the debt. In other words, I don't have any way of getting help, of doing anything that would help me on my own. And she turns to the man of God. The man of God tells her what she must do. And she's relying upon God to see her through. Amen. Or if we would be more interested in what the Holy Spirit of God wants at our homes. Listen to me. More interested in what he wants in our homes. You see, we're more interested in what the world thinks about us. What everybody else thinks about us. We're more interested in what we want than what God wants. We always think we know what's best for us. And we never do. We really don't. But God always has us in mind. He always knows what's best for us. Amen. This woman is obeying God, doing exactly what the man of God instruct her to do. Now thank God we've got the Word of God to instruct us today. Amen. And we still need to do it God's way. And this woman has done it just the way that the Lord has told her. But listen to me. Here in verse number 5, so she went and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Or she begins to empty Can you imagine? I can just see her. She's thinking, this is the only pot of oil. I don't know that it's worth anything, but it's the only one we've got. And now he's wanting me to pour it out. What does he mean? I'm taking a chance on spilling it and just making a mess out of things and not having any. Do you realize, folks, listen to me, there's enough of the Holy Spirit of God to go around. We don't have to worry about spilling him over here, praising the Lord too much that we run out of Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, I wish we could see the worth of the Holy Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, without him, you and I can't get saved. Amen. He's the one that calls us. The Father bids us, but he does it through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's right here, knocking our heart's door. Amen. And he said, invite me in, invite me in. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight. I don't mean to be exalting him above the Father or the Son, but he's right in there with them. Amen. I'm just trying to help us to realize how important he is. You see, we can't get anything done without him. We can't worship God without him, the Holy Spirit. We can't praise God without him, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You say, well, I bet you I can. Well, go ahead and give it a try. You hadn't been trying with him. You ought to go ahead and try it without him. No, you can't either. It's impossible to do it. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, we need to understand who he really is. And here, we're just afraid of running out of him or something, but we need to understand there's enough of him and plenty more to go around. Amen? And then we go a little further. Verse number 6, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, now notice it said the vessels were full. She said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. We went out and borrowed all the vessels that we possibly could. We brought them in the house. There's vessels everywhere. There's not another vessel in the area to be found. We've got them all. Oh, we're believing God for a miracle. Amen. We're believing the Lord. We're obeying him and expecting a miracle. And then I notice this in verse 6, the last part of it says, and the oil stayed. That means it remained. That means, my friend, that she poured out and she poured out and she poured out all of this same vessel, pouring into all the other vessels. And she keeps pouring and keeps pouring. She comes down to the last vessel. She fills it up. This one is still full. She sets it down and it stayed. That means it remained. The oil, not the vessel, although it remained also, but the oil in it remained. You know what that tells me? When it's talking about remained, it's talking about, it's in reference to, it remained the same that it was before she ever filled the first vessel. Amen. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like him? That he can fill our vessel? Somebody says, well, we've got leaky vessels. Yes, we do. Sometimes I'm kind of glad. Amen. The story's been told about a man that was told his son, said, take the bucket, go down the hill to the creek down there, or creek. What do y'all call them up here? Creek. Good, y'all got good English. Take the pail, go down there, and get a bucket of water out of the creek. And the son goes, and he gets the bucket of water. And when he starts back, he notices it's got a little hole in it. And as he's walking, that thing's just dripping water out, dripping water out, dripping water out. And he gets back home, the pail is about empty. And his dad says, son, I told you to fill that bucket up. And he said, Dad, I did, but it's got a hole in it. He said, okay, but I want you to go down there every day, and I want you to get that thing full and come back to the house. That son would go down there with an empty bucket. He'd get it full, and he'd start back, and that hole just trickling water out all the way back. After weeks of doing this, the dad said, son, how come we keep running out of water during the night and we don't have enough water for the next morning to even wash our face in? And he said, Dad, I told you, the bucket's got a hole in it. and it leaks out. Every time I go down there empty, I fill it up, and when I start back with it, it's full. And as I'm coming up the trail, that bucket is just leaking out through there, and the dad goes out with him on the porch. He says, let's see what's going on. And they look down that pathway, and the dad, instead of him being mad, the smile comes on his face, and he looks at his son. And he says, son, this is great. And the boy's looking at him and said, what do you mean, dad? He said, have you noticed on that side of the road there, there's the most beautiful flowers growing? None on the other side, but all on that side is beautiful flowers growing. You see, he was watering them every day as he walked back. Do you understand that's what the Holy Spirit of God does in us? Amen? We go to God, we get full. You remember a few years ago when we had our vessels up here on the altars? And we'd pray during the service and ask God to fill those vessels as he fills us. Amen? And then help us to go out into the world and leak on them a little bit. Amen. We'd be surprised what has sprung up over the years if we'll just keep doing that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's just like him. As we go about in this world living, he, my friend, he, through us, he begins to fall upon others. And oh, he can bring forth some of the most beautiful flowers. I'm looking at some tonight. The most beautiful flowers that's ever been raised upon the face of this earth. That is the saints of God. Amen. I'm glad God lets me be an old bucket with a hole in it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, listen, God is so good to us. Now this woman, she's there. She's beholding all these vessels of oil, and this one, it still remains full. The one she started off with, I'm sure she's at all saying, I don't know, I just don't have an explanation. Isn't that the way it is, Christian? Boy, as God blesses our life, and we look back on things, I don't know why. I don't know how God did all that. Boy, isn't he awesome? Because you know what? He certainly is. To think he would bring us from an old life of lostness, my friend, a life of not caring, a life, my friend, that was nothing but gloom and despair, and God gave us real life. Amen. The Bible says we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses, and then he quickened us and made us alive. It's amazing to me. I don't know why God would call someone like me, first of all, to salvation. I don't understand it. It's not that I was rich or had a lot of money and God said I can use his money. No. No poor boy from Alabama never had any money. Yet God saved me. It wasn't because he looked at me and said, boy, he's got a lot to offer. I'll save him. I didn't have anything to offer. I'd already lost my right hand. I was an old one-hand boy, lost and on the road to hell and had nothing, my friend, to promise God. So it wasn't any of those things. The only thing I can rest upon is this. He loved me. Because he said so. He loved me. That's the only thing. By the way, that's good enough. He loves me. And then he called me to preach. And oh boy, listen to me. I have a hard time going through the drive-thrus at McDonald's and all them. I have a hard time speaking where they can understand what I'm saying. And it don't even matter if I'm down south. Amen. I'm serious. They'll still say, what? My wife has laughed and told just about everybody about me. I'd pull up to the drive through there at the McDonald's and I'd say, Pam be with me, and I'd say, I need 2 cones of cream. You know what a cone of cream is? Ice cream cone. You say, why didn't you say that? I did. And that young lady there, that headset on, she said, sir. And I'd say, 2 cones of cream. She'd say, sir. And Pam would say, tell her you want 2 ice cream cones. I'm thinking, if she wasn't so dumb, she'd realize what I'm wanting. Amen. But I always get even with them. Because then when they say, please pull ahead, I get up there and I say, ma'am, are you upset with me, and that little woman in the window? And she'll say, "No, sir, what makes you think I said, "You told me, please, bullhead." Kind of makes it all right, amen? But I'm just, God called me to preach. I made it through 12 years of school. Praise God, I got it all packed in 12 years, amen? And a lot of the reason was that I only had to go 12 years because they didn't want me coming back another year, amen? And listen, I never was good in English. I know you're struggling with that. But I never was good with English or any of those things like that. Listen to me. And yet God called me to preach. And it would have been something if he'd have called me to preach and left me down there in Alabama where they could understand most of what I was saying. But God's brought me up here to where y'all don't even speak English at all. Amen. Isn't God something? He must have a sense of humor. Amen. But God called me. I can't get over all of this, folks. And I'm sure this woman is looking at this situation. She said, "Man, I have no explanation. I just don't understand. Look what God's done. I don't know what we're going to do with all this oil, boys. But look what all we've got. I mean, we started out with one barrel or one pot full. And now we've got all these vessels full. Still got that pot full. I don't know what God's up to." You know what? She could have done this. I got an idea. But she loved her family too much to rely on her ideas. Are you listening to me tonight? She loved her family too much to rest upon her own ideas. She could have figured this thing out by now and said, "You know, if we sell those pots of oil, we'll have enough money." But she is afraid of losing her boys. So she said, "I'm not going my way. I want to find out what God's will is concerning this." Folks, listen to me tonight. We've put our children, our family, the whole family, on the chopping block with our ideas. With our ideas. Our way of thinking. You know what I'm going to do? Kind of like that man in the Bible that the Bible tells us about, that he was a farmer, and boy, his crops came in, and he did well, and he said, "Man, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my barns down, and I'm going to build bigger ones. That's what I'm going to do. This is my idea. This is what, I figured it out, what I'm going to do with all these goods that have come my way. I'm going to build bigger barns and put it all in there. That's what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. And I'm going to say to my soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." Amen? I mean, that was his idea. And God called him a fool. You know why? He was going his way. And my friend, listen to me. God even told him, said, "Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." We better look out. This woman wasn't going to settle for her ideas and her way. And so she goes back to the man of God there in verse number 7. And she said, "Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest.'" He said, "You go. Here's what God wants you to do. You take those vessels of oil and you go sell them and pay the debt off, and whatever's left, you live on." Must have been a lot of vessels of oil. I mean, for her to pay the debt, but then to have enough left to live off of those. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you can't outdo God. My ideas and your ideas just won't come up to God's ideas. Because God's not, he doesn't have ideas. He has plans. He has plans that will work from beginning through the end. And nothing ever catches him off guard. Amen. "Well, I had plans, but I didn't plan on that." That's not God. He always has perfect plans, and they'll always work out just right if we go back and we follow them exactly the way he said do it. That's important, Christians. We've got to do it his way, or it won't get done to where it will work. And this woman, her sons. Story starts off She's afraid of losing them because she couldn't meet the needs. But she listens to God, and now all of her needs are met. Isn't that the God we serve tonight? Isn't that Him? Right choice. Wouldn't you say that about this woman? Right choice. Amen. What about you tonight? Have you made the right choice in your life? Have you made the choice tonight to be saved and trust the Lord as your Savior? If not, you ought to tonight. As a Christian, if you made the right choice to say, He's not only my Savior, but He's the Lord of my life, meaning that He is in complete, perfect control of my life. You say, well, Brother Danny, I wouldn't go that far. I know. And that's the reason some of us are sitting here tonight, miserable Christians, because we just won't go that far. And we don't understand. I mean, we got to go back to it. We don't understand. It's what we have in our home that either makes our home a happy home or destroys our home. Some of us have let things in that should have never come in our home. You say, well, it's too late now. No, it's not too late. To come to the Lord, listen, remember the Holy Spirit can go places you and I can't. He can go and He can make things, He can make those that have went astray come back home. What about you tonight? Let's all stand. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano player comes tonight, and pastor standing up front here, would you listen to God tonight? Would you listen to God? With our heads bowed, I wonder, no one looking around, I wonder if there's someone here tonight, say, Preacher, I'm lost. Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm one of those that's not saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. But preacher, I'd like to. I'd like to know that my sins are forgiven, that heaven is my home when this life comes to an end. I'd like to know Him. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? I'm not going to come and embarrass you. No one else is. No one else is looking around, just me and the Lord. You say, it's me, preacher. All you got to do is slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. Now, that's not how you get saved. That's to let me know to pray for you. If you'll call on the Lord right where you are tonight and ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you'll call on Him tonight, believe upon Him, He'll come into your heart right there at that pew, and He'll forgive you and save you right there. I feel so assured about this thing that if you ask Him to, He'll come in and save you. And if He comes in and saves you, you want others to know about it. You ought to come and tell the pastor tonight, Pastor, I received Jesus as my Savior. Why don't you come tonight? Would you like for us to pray for you, that God would give you the courage to step out and come? Would you like for us to do that? You say, Preacher, sure would. Would you slip your hand up, showing me, drop it right back down. Just raise it and drop it back down tonight. You're showing me you're concerned about your soul. Would you come tonight? Would you raise that hand for prayer tonight? Christian, I wonder if there's someone here tonight, a Christian, born again. I wonder tonight if you're standing here with us tonight, and you say, Preacher, I've just not been willing to let God have His complete control in my life. I've turned it over to Him, but I seem to take it back. And I turn it over to Him, and I take it back. What I do, you turn it over to Him, and don't take it back. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come to the Lord tonight and ask God to help you? The only way you'll ever be happy in this life, Christian, is to let the Lord be the Lord of your life. The only way, I don't care what else you do, my friend, you cannot be happy as a child of God living in the world. It just won't work. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight and just surrender it to the Lord? What do you have in your house tonight? What is it that you have in your house? Oh, I look around, the most prized possession Miss Pam and I have in our house is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What about you tonight? What about you, Christian? Would you come tonight? Would you come, dear friend, if you're lost without Jesus? You do not have to leave here lost and go back home lost. You can leave here tonight knowing that your name is in the book of life, knowing that you have eternal life, knowing you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell, knowing that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Won't you come? Would you come tonight? Would you obey the Lord tonight? Your decision, better make the right choice. Could be the last opportunity you have. I don't know, and you don't either. I'm not saying that you might die, though you might, but you just may never have another opportunity like this. It just may never come your way like this again. But tonight, He has come your way. Won't you come tonight? Would you obey the Lord? It's time to do business with God. Many have and many are. What about you tonight? Don't have to leave here lost. Don't have to leave here afraid of death. I'm serious. There's a lot of people that are here tonight. They're not afraid of death. Death has no hold upon them in such a manner it doesn't scare them. Why? Because they know that their sins are forgiven, that they have a home in heaven. You can know that tonight. You can be sure of that. Won't you come tonight? Won't you let God have His way? Christian, won't you come tonight? Why do you keep fighting a battle that you cannot win? You can't fight against God and win. You cannot fight against God and win. It's not going to get any better. It will not. You already know that. It's just going to get worse until you come and do it God's way. Why don't you just go ahead and give up tonight? The best way to win is to surrender. Just surrender to the Lord tonight. Would you come, Pastor?
There's no coincidence in you being here tonight. God knew you would be here. And I'm so glad.